So maybe it's hard to believe, but that's not the longest gospel that the church gives us throughout the year. But every year on this third Sunday, when we celebrate the scrutinies, for those of you preparing for baptism, Mother Church invites us to reflect on these set of readings, beginning with that first reading from Exodus, where the people were grumbling because they were thirsty. And they go on to desire to go back to their former way of life. But even though they have been in, the people have been enslaved for over 400 years, and now this community is finally free, when they meet a difficulty along their path, they want to go back to what's convenient and comfortable and familiar. As they're thirsty for something. The same thirst that we see on display in this woman. This passage clearly is very deep, very rich, and there's layers upon layers. And maybe for some homework this week, for your Lenten reading, you can just go online and just search for Catholic commentary on the woman at the well. And there will be copious amounts of information. All the different layers and details that are there. This is the beginning of John's gospel. John portrays his gospel as a new creation story. And he's putting things in proper order, calling people from sin, from chaos, from darkness, into the light, to the living waters. And that's what he says, living waters. In Florida, we're familiar with fresh springs, how the water just seems to magically come from the earth. This is that living waters that the scriptures refer to of the grace of Jesus Christ. That this unending flow of life within us. And for those of you preparing for baptism, that's what you are preparing to receive, the life-giving waters of Jesus Christ. We heard in that beautiful second reading from Romans chapter 5. How beautiful, how powerful. You might risk your life for a good person, but definitely not a bad person. But Jesus proves his love for you. That while we are still sinners, he died for us. And in that moment, in our sinfulness, he pours himself into us. Again, that image of water being poured. This is the image that St. Paul gives us to reflect upon as we think about our own baptism. That God poured himself into us. And to be poured into, that means we must be empty so that we can receive the fullness of what God wants. And that's the point of these next 3 weeks, to make sure that you are empty, that you're desiring to be filled with the fullness of God's life, God's love. The people in the desert were thirsty. This woman in the gospel was thirsty. That's why she was at the well. It makes sense. And again, we can go deep into the different details of why she was there at noon and not with the other women. And when we find out her sexual history, her irregular marriages, we can understand why she may have felt alone and isolated and shamed because of her sin. And then we can reflect upon our own life. How often do we go to the wells of this world that promises us refreshment, and we're left empty time and time again, filled with shame and guilt and regret? But it's in that moment where she encounters life. She encounters the living water. She encounters the only thing, the only one that could ever truly quench her thirst. And so what are you thirsty for? What wells have you allowed to become fixtures in your life that you keep going back to time and time and time again, hoping that just maybe this next time it will work? Or maybe you're just stuck in a rut and you don't know how not to keep going back to that same well. It might be sexual immorality. It might be the dark side of the internet. It might be the bottle. It might be your Amazon account. It might be the gossiping at work. It might be the whatever. Fill in the blank. We all have the stuff that we cling to, hoping that it gives us life. But like this woman, it never satisfies. It never fills. We spoke last week about the three stages of the spiritual life. And we see in this encounter, this purgation that this woman is going through. How she's going through this deep conversion. How she met this man who is a Jew and becomes a rabbi and Messiah and salvation. But she changed as she came to know him more and more intimately. We see how Jesus wasn't afraid or put off by her sin. Just before this passage begins, it tells us that Jesus had to go that way, that he wanted to encounter this woman. And in our sin, he wants to encounter us. He wants to free us from the lies of this world and the shame of our heart, so that we can live in a true and right relationship, that we can become people of hope, the hope that St. Paul tells us does not disappoint, that God is faithful to his promises. And no matter where we go or where we've been, God is faithful. And as our friends who are preparing for baptism are a good reminder to us of the reality of our own lives, that we too were once dead in our sin, and of no merit of our own, Christ has come to us and he's poured himself into us. And every time we pass by the holy water, we remind ourselves of those life-saving waters, to have we've been set free. So that when we face those difficulties on our journey and we are thirsty, and it seems like it'd be so much easier just to go back to our former way of life, we gaze upon the cross, the sign of God's love, the proof of God's love, and we stay the course. We don't turn back, but we rejoice in the new life, and we understand that the sufferings of this world prove to be enduring, that we get endurance and a strong character, that we grow in virtue, we grow in grace by not giving up, by not turning back, but by staying faithful. This woman, her life was radically changed. She was stuck in her sin and her shame, and she was trying to avoid the crowd so she would never have to face the reality of the life choices that she made. So many of us live in that same prison, but Christ set her free. Set her free so much that she ran back to the very same people she was trying to avoid and told them that she had found the one that they were all waiting for. And that wonderful little detail, that she left her bucket behind. We all have our buckets that we go to fill things up, hoping that this would be enough this time. She no longer needed the things of this world because she encountered the only thing that mattered. And in her life, she became a living testimony to the life-saving gift of Jesus Christ. Her friends, her townspeople said, "We no longer believe because of your testimony. We believe because we have heard, we have encountered the truth." As baptized brothers and sisters, as members of the one true church, we too are called to go back out into the world, to find those who are drowning in their thirst as they look for anything and everything to satisfy. And you can go to them and you can tell them, "I have found him. I have found the one thing, the only thing that I will never, ever need." And when you find him, you will never thirst again. Amen.